Hi, everybody. You're listening to WRRS, Radio Reading Services of Greater Cincinnati. And I'm Bill McDowell with this week's Cincy Mag. To get started this week, let's take a look at an article they had in there about the Bengals. And I know it's not going too good so far, but what the heck. There's some good things potential out there. The playbook, the plan, the presentation, and the precision. Call those the four P's of the Bengals' dawning Zach Taylor era, as reported by those who work daily with the new head coach. They are four reasons to believe that Taylor can take an arguably underrated roster to a fifth P Bengals fans hunger for, a playoff run. I'm very excited. Just look at the playbook. All-pro wide receiver A.J. Green said, "It's basically the same thing they ran with the Rams. It's all set up very sound with the running game, but I think we'll be taking a lot of big shots, looking for big chunk plays. I love being out there with an offensive-minded coach." Taylor isn't just any offensive-minded coach. He was quarterback's coach for the 2018 Los Angeles Rams, helping lift QB Jared Goff to a season of multiple records, and the team won the NFC Championship while finishing second in the NFL in points, 32.9, and yards, 421.1 per game. At 36 years old, as training camp began, Taylor is young by traditional NFL head coaching standards. However, he displays a grasp of a head coach's role that's beyond his years. "Zach came to us with a real plan," said Bengals player personnel director Duke Tobin, a key figure in Taylor's hiring. "He had done a ton of work to know our management and know our team. We had hours of pretty deep conversation about everything down to meeting schedules and how to manage players when they're outside the building. He had easy, confident answers to our questions. He brings a lot of high-end current success with the Rams, and he showed us very impressively how he wants to run things." Taylor also attracted serious head coaching interest from the Arizona Cardinals and Denver Broncos. His ability to communicate with today's NFL players played a big role. His presentation to the team, "He's just really good in the front of the meeting room," ninth-year QB Andy Dalton says. "It gets you excited the way he implements everything. The leadership he's going to have with this team is tremendous. There's a reason for everything we do, and he makes it really clear to us. And on the practice field, it's all put into action. Coach Taylor does a great job, and every day coming in with a new attitude and mindset," third-year running back Joe Mixon said. "The level of competition raises your level of play. Everybody is trying to give their best effort, whether they're on the field or not. You have to cheer for your teammates and be their number one fan, and that's what everybody is starting to do. And as long as we can keep that going, I think that will be great. Playbook, plan, presentation, precision. They are elements designed to light a spark on a roster with another P, potential. Despite missing the playoffs the last three seasons, as head coach Marvin Lewis closed a 16-year, seven-playoff run, Cincinnati boasts a talent level that seems overlooked in national preseason forecasts. Have the prognosticators perhaps forgotten returning AFC rushing leader Mixon? Or the presence of two 1,000-yard receivers from the last season, Green and Tyler Boyd? Or that Dalton is 18 games over 500 as a starter, 68 wins against 50 losses, with the best career passing rating, 88.8, in Bengals history? What about the presence of two returning Pro Bowl defense linemen, Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap? Or a stable with three veteran cornerbacks drafted in the first round, Drake Kirkpatrick, William Jackson, and Darquez Dennard? Of course, there are areas in need of revamping. Offensive line and linebacker head the list, and the coaches have their options mapped out as training camp began. We feel we're a talented team overall, said Dalton, who has played in three Pro Bowls. And I think that's one of the reasons this job was enticing to Zach. We may not be getting much credit right now, but a lot of people win the offseason and don't do all that much when it counts. And the organization has done everything Taylor wanted. They've made changes in the building and hired the biggest coaching staff, 21 assistants, this franchise has ever had. They're doing the things he feels are needed for us to win. Much of Taylor's early work has gone towards the establishment of what he simply calls the culture. Despite the Rams' well-deserved reputation for flash and dash, backed by cutting-edge technology, Taylor insists that his approach is basically old school. We're working every single day to set a sky-high standard, and we expect everyone in the building to meet the expectations. It's not just getting out here on the practice field and thinking we've got good players and good X's and O's. It's about holding each other accountable. That's what I think of when people bring up the Rams way. Taylor promises a strictly even-handed approach to those standards, which some might argue represents a huge breath of fresh air in comparison to the days not so long ago when it seemed that there were always a couple of talented but problematic players too often allowed to go their own ways. It's everybody living up to the same expectations, Taylor said. It's not some guys up here and some guys way down low. It's everybody. Practice the same way and conduct yourself in the meeting room the same way. Almost across the board, Taylor's newly brought in players, from top draftee Williams to the undrafted free agents, boast resumes complete with repeated team captaincies, college degrees, weight room superlatives, and awards for perseverance, conditioning, and toughness. Our guys have to have the right stuff, Taylor said. We need a high football IQ and a showing that the team aspect is very important to them. Sometimes you can trace those qualities back to multiple team captain posts and that sort of thing. With guys like that, you believe they're going to have the mental toughness and resiliency to get through the adversity you're always going to face in the season. With that comment, Taylor took his leave from an interview and started bounding off to his next task. Apprised of Dalton and Green's comments before he left the immediate vicinity, he said, I'm happy the players are excited about things, but we've got a lot of work to do before we play Seattle in week one. And like I said, I know the Bengals didn't quite get off to the start we all were hoping for, but let's give the new coach and the team a chance. Now we're moving on and changing subjects drastically here. The title of this next article is License to Prosecute. U.S. Attorney Benjamin Glassman is the man behind the spy who paid me in other cases you might have missed in Cincinnati. The movies have it all wrong. The real James Bond doesn't live in London and drive an Aston Martin with pop-up machine guns. He lives in Cincinnati and probably drives a minivan with pop-up cup holders to keep his kids hydrated after soccer practice. His boss is not the mysterious M of the Ian Fleming novels. He is a boyish-looking 44-year-old graduate of Seven Hills, the class of 1993, and Harvard Law, magna cum laude, who plays racquetball and keeps pictures of his wife, two children, and mixed-breed dog in a downtown Cincinnati office that has room for two Aston Martins, but no inventory of spy camera cufflinks or 9mm semi-automatic pistols. His mission, however, would stir James Bond like a bespoke martini. We have an expectation that we are the best U.S. attorney's office in the world, with more impact than ever before, says Benjamin Glassman, U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Ohio. As long as some aspect of a crime touches anything in our territory, we can prosecute it. That prosecutor's version of Bond's license to kill was demonstrated on April Fool's Day last year when the long arm of the law reached 4,150 miles across the Atlantic from federal offices in the Atrium 2 Tower in downtown Cincinnati to Brussels, Belgium, and tapped a Chinese secret agent on the shoulder with a pair of handcuffs. Federal court records say that Yan Yun Zhu, also known as Zhang Wei, and other aliases, was a deputy director of China's espionage and security version of KGB and MSS. He was waiting in Brussels to meet an engineer from GE Aircraft in Cincinnati, who promised to hand over a flash drive of secrets for better jet engine performance. But FBI agents had already caught the GE engineer stealing industrial secrets for China in return for travel and stipends from Zhu. Using the cover of a Chinese university that works directly with China's aviation industry, Zhu had recruited the engineer through social media and flattered him with invitations to, quote, exchange ideas. Court records show that in 2017, Zhu paid the GE engineer $3,500 for a one-hour speech in China to buy research that had cost GE billions of dollars in years to develop. In coded emails, Zhu boasted about his success and sent the engineer a shopping list for GE computer files. But by then, the FBI had confronted the engineer. The files that he delivered to Agent Zhu were edited to protect GE's secrets, and the leaker was now bait in a trap. Zhu was lured to Belgium, busted, and extradited to the U.S. It was the first time a Chinese agent was caught and prosecuted on U.S. soil. The investigation uncovered at least two other American aviation companies that were being robbed by China, whose thefts cost the U.S. hundreds of billions each year. Zhu was held in a Michigan federal prison to await trial in federal court in Cincinnati. The engineer was fired, but not prosecuted. A Bond movie might call it The Spy Who Paid Me, but in Cincinnati it's called what? Spies and Secret Agents Here? That's because cases handled by the U.S. Attorney's Office that covers 48 counties encompassing Cincinnati, Columbus, and Dayton get less attention than agents on 001 through 006. Glassman, who became U.S. attorney 3 years ago, wants to change that. The purpose of prosecution is to achieve justice, but also to deter people. So we want them to know we have a hammer to use with fair but tough sentencing. As the Sopranos would say, don't make a federal case out of it. Federal prosecutors have time and resources, and they don't cut deals. We don't have parole, Glassman says. So 85% of a sentence is served. Working with local and federal law enforcement in a scrabble of acronyms, CPD, DEA, ATF, FBI, IRS, HCSO, and his prosecutors target the small crowd of gangs and criminals who cause most crime and violence. His message, we know who you are, so get out while you can. One of the hammers they swing is a 20-year sentence for anyone who distributes a drug that causes a death. With overdose deaths in record numbers, that one nails a lot of drug dealers. Glassman says, we're trying to inform the public more about what we're doing. And they're doing a lot. A typical list of recent cases include public corruption, child exploitation and pornography, gun violations, fraud schemes, civil rights violations, welfare fraud, police corruption, national security and terrorism, organized crime, espionage, and drugs. Ohio is in the top five states for opioid overdoses, and drug cartels that are as big as Procter & Gamble and Kroger are always offering new and improved products, Glassman says. As the pill mills were shut down to fight the opioid epidemic, demand shifted to heroin and then fentanyl, a deadly animal tranquilizer. Now demand and supply are shifting again to stimulants, cocaine, meth, and prescription drugs such as Adderall and Ritalin, Glassman says. We're seeing carfentanil, an elephant anesthetic that is 100 times stronger and more deadly. As we see some progress against the opioid epidemic, we don't want to replace that with cocaine and meth laced with fentanyl. Meanwhile, they are also battling MS-13, the Central American gang with the motto, Kill, Rape, Control. They are quite different, Glassman says. Their main purpose is not drugs, but violence and control. They're not in it to get rich. They don't have or live lavish lifestyles. Many have day jobs as roofers or carpet layers and are diligent workers. A lot of what they make gets sent to El Salvador. They do some drug trafficking, but mainly extortion of vulnerable, undocumented immigrants. His office indicted and broke up an MS-13 gang in Columbus in 2017. I'm pretty proud of that case. We completely dismantled the MS-13 clique in Columbus. Glassman gives all the credit to his team of prosecutors and FBI agents, such as Cincinnati Special Agent Bradley Hall, who caught Yan Jun Zhu. U.S. attorneys come and go at the whim of the White House. As a Democrat serving a Republican president, he could be replaced at any time. And he knows most people can probably name the flavor of the month at UDF before they can name a U.S. attorney. Best name ever, Flamin Ball, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Ohio, appointed by President Lincoln. But as Bond's boss, M, might say, sometimes it's better to work on the quiet side of the street. Wasn't that interesting? An international intrigue at General Electric and born out of Cincinnati. Next, we're going to ask four questions with Western and Southern Opens Andre Silva. Tournament director and CEO hosting the tennis superstars in the Queen City. For the last 3 years, Andre Silva has overseen the largest professional tennis competition in Cincinnati. Silva ensures the event's vision aligned with customer expectations. This year's events will take place from Saturday, August 10th to Sunday, August 18th. We spoke with Silva to learn more. Did you grow up around tennis? What sparked your passion of tennis? And why do you choose to work in the tennis industry? I started playing tennis when I was 9. I'm originally from Brazil. My father played. He's the one who got the bug and gave it to my brother and I. Tennis has given me everything. It's given me an education here in the U.S. My brother and I played in college. Tennis has been in our blood. I've been around the game for a while and love it. Why do you think Western and Southern Open is such a special event for Cincinnati? I think there are a couple of things. We have gotten the support of the players that come in every year. Seeing the list of champions that come to play is quite amazing. That is not something everyone has in the world of tennis or even in sports, where you can say the top of the top is coming to play in your town. This event also has the feel of Cincinnati. We make sure to provide Midwest hospitality and that people feel comfortable here and safe and feel safe. I think that's a great combo. What's the role interns and volunteers play when putting on a huge event like this? We probably couldn't be where we are today without the volunteers and the interns. We have a staff of 14 people, which, as you can imagine, as a tournament of this size, 14 people is not enough. So they play a very important role. One thing that is unique from an intern perspective is we give them a lot of latitude to let them make their own decisions. They know where we need to go. They know what we need to achieve. But the experience is not only to listen and absorb, but really do more than that and take a leadership role. What might you say to the individuals or families who may be looking for something to do but don't have much exposure to tennis? There's more than tennis. First of all, there's entertainment throughout the grounds. You have fans playing different activities from partners, and you can see players practicing and having a great time. At the same time, even if you haven't had exposure to the game of tennis live, tennis is one of those sports that once you see live, you really appreciate. I challenge anyone who comes and watches superstars play to not say that what they do is impressive. Come and enjoy everything and give tennis a chance, because you will leave impressed. Next, we're going to take a look at the garden guru. When we have some time, we'll ask the gardener a question as well. Butterfly bushes, what to know before planting one in your garden. Gardeners are asking for plants that attract bees, butterflies, and hummingbirds. When you find a plant that attracts all three, it's time to evaluate whether to plant it in the garden. Butterfly bush, or Budalia, is always a favorite and can be a wonderful treat with showy and fragrant flowers. The difficulty is that most older varieties get so big, it's often difficult to find a spot to plant them in many smaller urban gardens. Then along came many great dwarf varieties like Lo and Behold Blue Chip, Lo and Behold Pink Microchip, Lo and Behold Purple Haze, and quite a few more. The problem with some of these new dwarf varieties in our area is that they seem to have smaller flowers than regular butterfly bushes, and the plants last only a few years. Fortunately, the new butterfly bush on the block, Puckster Pink, seems to have solved those issues. Puckster Pink butterfly bush has large, pink, fragrant flowers, grows only about 2 feet tall, and blooms all summer. It appears to have better winter survivability than some other dwarf varieties because it has thicker and more robust stems. Keep self-seeding in mind. Butterfly bushes that produce seeds can be invasive in some areas. Some butterfly bushes are sterile and therefore do not produce seed. Before planting a butterfly bush, find out if the variety you want to plant is sterile and check out your local invasive plants list to find out what plants are banned or considered high, medium, or modest threats in your area. This information can help you decide if planting a dwarf butterfly bush like Puckster Pink is right for you. Now let's ask the gardener a question. I have an area in my yard that stays damp most of the time due to an underground spring and the slope of the land. What could I plant in this area that would withstand this? Ideally, I would like something that lived year-round or that would maintain a coverage. There are definitely plants that can tolerate more moisture than others, but the available sunlight will also need to be determined before choosing any plant material. Full sun is considered 6 or more hours of direct sunlight each day. Shade is anything under 3 hours, and any amount in between is considered part sun. When soil is constantly wet, it's very compact and prevents oxygen movement. It will be a good idea to add compost to the first 12 inches of soil to help improve air circulation and drainage. Depending on the space you are dealing with, you may want to incorporate larger shrubs or even a tree into the design. you will have several options for year-round interest with both sun and shade loving options. This is also a good time to have your soil tested. This can be done for a small fee at your county cooperative extension service. So let's see. We probably need to get to the best of some things here as I'm getting down to the last couple of minutes. And like I always say, the best of is according to Cincy Mag and not me or anyone here at the Cincinnati Association for the Blind or WIRS. How about the best pizza on the east side of Cincinnati? And according to Cincy Magazine, that's Joe's Pizza Napoli. That's at 507 Chamber Drive in Cincinnati. The phone number is 513-248-0082. Or go to joespizzanapoli.com. That's N-A-P-O-L-I, napoli.com. And how about the best sandwich shop? According to Cincy Magazine, it's Lair's Prime Market. They're at 740 Main Street in Milford. Their phone number is 513-831-3411. Or go to lairsprime.com. And Lair's is spelled L-E-H-R apostrophe S. How about the best sports bar? It's Shooter's Sports Grill. They have multiple locations. This one's at 780 Loveland, Miamiville Road in Loveland. For more information, phone 513-774-7007 or go to shootersportsgrill.com. Again, at shootersportsgrill.com. So we've got the best pizzas, Joe's Pizza Napoli, best sandwich shop, Lair's Prime Market, and best sports bar, Shooter's Sports Grill. And that's going to do it for today's program. Thanks for taking the time to spend your time with us. I'm Bill McDowell, and this has been Cincy Mag.